lift your head, we'll be sinner. The river's just a And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. It's another week and just a ton of stuff going on around the country and around the world. And here every single week, you know, I have people often ask, well, what do you talk about every week? You're with Hope Resource Center, but what do you talk about every week? Well, our goal here is to talk about pro-life issues. Our goal is to highlight pro-life issues around the country, pro-life work around the country, of course, stuff going on at Hope Resource Center. But the ultimate goal is to simply see life celebrated and try to inform you, the listener, on what is going on and what we need to be prepared for, what we need to know, and help equip you to do that. So I could spend the next hour, as we were doing off air, talking about the caucus last night in Iowa, but I'm not going to do that. That would be fun, but I'm not going to do that. But what I do want to highlight about the presidential election is what you have is you have two very, very stark differences. Okay, so you have one side that is very much pro-choice. As a matter of fact, a candidate today, Hillary Clinton, I heard one of her supporters today come out and say, which I find ironic, I guess, is this supporter came out and said Hillary Clinton has fought for women and children her entire career. And in the same breath, in the same sentence, she said, and she's endorsed by Planned Parenthood and NARAL. Planned Parenthood and NARAL are two of the largest voices in the abortion industry. And so I found it interesting that this surrogate for Hillary Clinton was coming out and saying that this woman supports women and kids. And then she highlighted endorsements from organizations that stand against kids, and in my opinion, stand against women. So you have that, and then you have another side of folks that are boldly standing for life and are able to articulate their stance for life. And so all I would say, no endorsement here of any kind, all I would say is pay attention to what is being said. Don't allow them to pander to you one way or the other. And truly, just look at each candidate and see which one lines up with you. I think it's important that as we vote, we do that and we become informed ourselves. So I think that that's what our founding fathers wanted. That's what men and women have gone and died for and sacrificed for, so that we would have the freedom to do that. So be informed. Don't take for granted your right to vote. But that's all I'm going to say on that. What I want to do today is I want to talk about something that's in the news, and it's a new virus, and it's kind of getting attention like Ebola did last year. But this new virus is called the Zika virus, and it's going around in countries around the world, and it is given off by, you're able to get a disease by mosquitoes. So it's a mosquito-borne virus. It causes brain disorders in unborn babies whose mothers are affected. The World Health Organization has declared a state of emergency, and there is no vaccine or cure. So officials have warned women to avoid getting pregnant. But listen to this, but over half of all pregnancies in countries like Brazil are unplanned. Now think about that. I mean, at Hope Resource Center, we're dealing with men and women every single day that are facing unplanned pregnancies. But in countries like Brazil, this article said, over half of all pregnancies are unplanned. And as a matter of fact, abortion is illegal in most of these South American countries where Zika is prevalent. So 270 confirmed cases in Brazil. Of course, I think I saw a number today around 4,000 total confirmed, but 270 in Brazil alone. So the reason I bring this up is because what happens when we have a disease like this? You saw this with Ebola. You saw it with a number of different things. Is we start to legislate, or we start to have conversations based through emotion. So now we have this virus, and this virus is not only affecting the women and men, but it's also, if you're pregnant, it is going and making the baby sick, and it is causing some brain disorders for the unborn child. So what you now have is you have a disease that is hurting people, that is killing people. And we know what is causing it. We know what is causing it. What is causing it is mosquitoes, certain type of mosquitoes in different countries that are carrying this disease. But the sad thing is, as this is going on, many are using this as a a chance to advocate for abortion. So they have found success in the past here as well by citing a disease for a reason to have abortion. So this is what they do. You know, this is what the other side will do. They see an issue, and this issue has nothing to do with abortion, but yet they see it as an issue they can take advantage of. And so now you have abortion advocates coming out and saying, we know abortion is illegal in Brazil, but we have to, these women have to have access to abortion because their child is sick. These women have to have access to abortion because this may make them sick or fill in the blank. And so what you have is you have advocates coming out, and they're now calling for abortion in these areas. So notice where their anger is not focused. Over half of these pregnancies are unplanned, but yet they don't push for better education. They're not going after the mosquitoes even. They're going after the unborn child. They're going after the mom that finds herself sick. So why only push abortion? Why not go into these poor areas and have some classes? Why not talk to them about abstinence? Why not talk to them about making proper sexual choices? Listen to this. The chief executive officer of Women Deliver, she said this when she criticized the World Health Organization. She said, wouldn't it be wonderful to see World Health Organization Reproductive Health Department involved as well? Yes, it is about mosquitoes carrying a dangerous virus, but it is also about a health system failing women. So listen to that. Her anger and her focus is not on, hey, how can we rid these areas of these mosquitoes? Her anger is going toward World Health Organization, who has declared an emergency, a state of emergency around the world. And her anger is pointed at them, and her anger is pointed at unplanned pregnancies and the unborn, instead of being pointed at what we should be doing is looking at this and saying, we need to figure out a way to get these mosquitoes away and out, and we need to get rid of them first. That needs to be the starting point. Then what we need to do simultaneously is go into these areas and look for ways to educate these men and women. We need to go into these areas and have conversations about this. And so what we're doing is the focus instead is on the baby and not getting rid of the actual disease carrier. So as we look through this, you know, a lot of times folks on the other side will say, well, they'll treat pregnancy as a disease. So they treat pregnancy as a disease, and then what they say is we have to eradicate. We have a remedy to get rid of this disease, and that is abortion. Instead of looking here and saying, well, what is causing this? What is causing unplanned pregnancies? Is it a lack of education? And in this case, what's going on in Brazil, what's causing it is mosquitoes. So let's figure out a way, as we are able to do in this country and other countries, to get rid of mosquitoes. Let's figure out a way to get rid of them instead of leaving the mosquitoes where they're at and then going after moms that are having unplanned pregnancies and moms that may want their child. So why go into these areas and tell this mom, hey, the best thing for you is to have an abortion, instead of sitting down with that mom and saying, well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about how we ended up here. We're gonna treat you. We're gonna deal with you medically, in all the ways that we are able to. But we also want to talk to you about what got you here. And what you're gonna see, because the statistic says over half of these pregnancies are unplanned, what that tells me is that's a cycle, right? So that's a culture. That's a family cycle. Mom did it. Grandma did it. You know, it's just a cycle that they're unable to get out of. So what we need to figure out is how can we break that cycle? And those cycles are not broken by us standing, and we talked about this before, by us standing on the shoreline screaming at people. Those cycles aren't broken that way. Those cycles are broken when we get involved and get engaged and actually go to work to help people. And it boggles my mind that those that are pro-choice, those that are always opposed to what we are doing, a lot of times you don't see them in the trenches doing the work. You don't see them actually doing anything. What they're doing is they're calling for the government to step in. They're calling for more and more and more funds from the state and federal offices. They're calling for more and more and more abortions. So to them, women's health doesn't include anything except abortion first. Now one may argue that women's health would be, you know, preventative care. Well, women visits, mammograms, you know, all of these things that involve women. But the pro-choicers, these advocates that are calling for abortions in greater numbers and calling for exceptions to happen in the law so that abortions can occur, at the top of their list when they talk women's health, at the very top, actually probably 1A, 1B, and 1C is going to be abortion. So explain to me how women's health is synonymous with abortion. Because what they're actually saying there is your size determines your value, right? So what we know is, even if we want to be more conservative in our statistics, let's say all the abortions that have happened over the years, half of them were boys and half of them were girls. So if you're standing for women's health and you're standing for women's liberty and you're standing for women's rights, then are you not trampling all over the rights of women and their health when you are calling for the abortion of a possible little girl? And see, that's what they don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about what is actually happening when an abortion occurs. And so that is a conversation we must have. There are folks around this world that are completely fine with having abortions based solely on gender. Well, I wanted a boy, so I'm gonna abort this girl and try again. Or I wanted a girl, so I'm gonna abort this boy and try again. And that should bother us, especially when you're wrapping all of this up in women's health. Because if you're truly pro-woman, then don't you also have to be pro-little girl? Pro-unborn little girl? How can you truly be pro-woman and not pro-little girl and her health? I mean, that's the conversation that no one wants to have, and we need to have it. When we get back, what I'm going to do is talk to you about ways that we can educate and help people that are in need. We'll be back in a sec. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood. I hope you're enjoying your day. It's amazing outside. Amazing. So we're glad that you're here. I spent the first part of the show talking about the Zika virus and what is going on and how that is leading to folks around the world calling for more abortions. And so what I want to do now is I talked about how the educational opportunities that are being missed here. So our focus, or some people's focus, that those that are coming out calling for more abortions, their focus is abortion wrapped up in women's health. And their focus is not where it needs to be. So instead of rolling up their sleeves and going into these communities and helping educate and get people to start making proper decisions and healthy sexual choices, they're simply saying, hey, if you happen to get sick with this new virus, you should be able to have an abortion. So what I want to talk about is educational opportunities, and what does that look like? Well, at Hope, it looks like what's going on there right now as I speak. So right now as I talk, there is a class going on at Hope Resource Center. Their parenting class is happening. Tonight, they're going to be talking about nutrition. So it's people saying, hey, we know there's a need out here, and we're going to meet that need. So this also looks like mentoring. Mentoring is pouring into women that need to be loved, showing them that they have value. So that's what happens at Hope Resource Center. So when a patient comes in and they sign up for parenting class, so they find out they're pregnant, they've had an ultrasound, they chose life, this is their first child, we then say, hey, we offer parenting classes. Would you be interested? And if they sign up for that, then during that 10-week period, they are also given a mentor, and they have meetings with a mentor. And this is a great opportunity for our volunteers and our staff to step in and help and love someone that really probably hasn't felt that in a while. Maybe to step in and just simply have a conversation with someone and show that they have value. A lot of the moms that are coming in are nervous and they don't know what to expect. So this gives a great opportunity for them to sit down with someone who cares deeply about them. And guess what? All of that costs nothing for our patient. We don't charge them a dime. At Hope Resource Center, it looks like parenting classes, nutritional classes, safe sleep classes, birth preparation classes. So what we do throughout all of the parenting classes is we are giving them the tools they need, not only to prepare for having their child, but also the tools they need to make proper choices after baby is here. So it is having conversation. What is safe sleep? And what are the proper sleeping conditions for your child? What are the proper nutritional values that you need to look into for you and your child? It's birth prep. You know, a lot of people can talk about birth, but that is something that you need to prepare for. And so it's hearing from a medical professional at Hope about that process and what that looks like. It looks like at Hope Resource Center, it looks like abstinence teaching. So it looks like going to schools, going to fraternities, going to sororities, going to not just Christian schools, but public schools, going anywhere we can to encourage people to save sex for what it was meant to be, and that is for marriage. So it's going into there and letting them know this isn't just about a biblical worldview. This is how it's designed, and when you have sex with someone, that messes with your psyche, that messes with your emotions, and that's something that everyone needs to talk about, not just Christians. So it's getting us to a point of saying, we believe education needs to happen. We're not going to wait around for the government to do that. We're going to step in and do that. It looks like going to places many will not go. You know, I hear from pro-choice folks all the time about our hate for women and their rights, especially their reproductive rights. They're always saying on the news and everywhere else, they're always saying that pro-life people do not care about women. You know, I've heard different organizations come out against different presidential candidates and say that they hate women's health and they hate women because they are against abortion. Again, how come abortion has to be at the top of the list when you talk about women's health? So I hear that all the time, yet we are in the trenches doing the work. Now think about that. We are getting up every single day, not just Hope Resource Center, but around 4,000 pro-life clinics around this country getting up every single day to go to places no one wants to go and to work with populations no one wants to work with. The only people that want to work with them are us. And guess what? A lot of those folks, a lot of those clinics are entrenched in biblical values. It is those values that cause us to those dark places. So think about that for a second. We are getting our hands dirty. We're rolling up our sleeves. We're doing the work. And we're doing all of that at no charge to the patient. So a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times if you're pro-life, you're also conservative in other areas. And what a lot of people want to do is they want to look at that and say, all you care about is making money. All you care about is the bottom line and building your budgets and making your pockets fat. That's what we hear a lot about conservatives. But let me tell you, let me give you a contrast, okay? So Hope Resource Center is working and serving in this community, just like a lot of pro-life clinics around the country. And we don't charge a dime, not a dime. We're working with populations that a lot of people would say conservatives and Christians care nothing about, but we're working with them and loving them, and we're not waiting around for someone else to do it. We're not waiting around for the government to do it. Imagine that, conservatives actually loving the population around us. It's a crazy thought, but it is happening every single day. So when I hear friends and other people that are pro-choice and that want to attack what we're doing, my answer to them is, well, what are you doing? I mean, we can disagree on life or abortion. We can disagree on all of that. But what we can agree on is some of these people are choosing life. So what are you doing when they choose life? We're serving the people regardless of who they are when they walk in our door. If they walk out and get an abortion, it breaks our heart and it tears at us, but we're going to still serve them. What are you doing for that mom that chooses life? Are you rolling up your sleeves? Are you going to those places? Are you providing educational classes, parenting classes? Catholic Charities in this community right now, they do parenting classes. They do one-on-one. And they do that until the child is a toddler. They work with all kinds of different communities here in Knoxville because they care deeply about the men and women of this community. Again, so their pro-life stance doesn't stop at the womb and it goes further. So what we have to do is understand the a lot of folks are going to call us judgmental. A lot of folks are going to say we hate women. A lot of folks are going to say we stand against women's reproductive rights. But we just need to keep doing what we're doing. Keep doing the work. Keep opening up the doors at Hope Resource Center and other pro-life clinics around the country, Catholic Charities and the like. And we need to keep standing in that gap because, folks, there is a gap. And I talked earlier about the cycles that need to be broken, what's going on around me. Bumper stickers won't fix it. Facebook posts won't fix it. Hashtags won't fix it. The government won't fix it. The only thing that's going to change what is going on around us is if we step in and we actually start loving people. We actually start loving people and serving them in their time of need. And we do that through places like Hope Resource Center. So the answer isn't more abortions. The answer is caring enough about people that you're not attacking disease that some people may call a pregnancy. That's not a disease, folks. That is a blessing beyond blessings. You know, Sunday I sat down with a family and we recorded a video that we're going to be releasing here in the next couple weeks. And we heard about their adoption story. They spent 7 years trying to get pregnant. They tried everything. 7 years longing to get pregnant. So folks, it's not a disease. It's not something that we can just eradicate and forget about. It is a blessing. And what we need to do is step into our society and our culture and engage with the community and talk to them about that. And that's what we do at Hope Resource Center. When we get back, we're going to talk about who do we want to be? Who do we want to be as a people, as a country, and as a society? We'll be back.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
And we're back. This is Andrew Wood. I hope you're enjoying the show today. What we've been talking about is the latest virus that's kind of in the news, the Zika virus that is causing brain disorders in unborn babies and whose mothers contract the disease. And a lot of folks are now coming out and saying, well, we need abortions. We need to have more abortions to take care of this problem instead of going after the mosquitoes or the different things that are going on. Instead of helping educate people, they're going after the unborn baby. So my question is, who do we want to be? So today, as we look at the latest reason to abort, I must pose this question. Do we want to be the country, the people, defined by the lives we saved or the ones we discarded? So what happens with this disease is it creates brain deformities and disorders. And these folks are coming out and saying that these babies will have no way of life. They're not going to be able to live. So we need to get rid of them before they are born. So I want you to hear from a journalist that actually has dealt with this and was born with a brain disorder. And he listened to her story.
On the day I was born, the doctor said I would have no chance of survival. I suffer from microcephaly. My skull is smaller than average. The doctor gave his diagnosis. She will not walk, she will not talk, and over time, she will enter into a vegetative state until she dies. He, like many others, was wrong. I grew up, I went to school, I went to university, and today I'm a journalist. I chose journalism to give a voice to people like me who do not feel represented. With the spike of microcephaly cases in Brazil, the need for information is more important than ever, and people need to leave their prejudices aside. The Minister of Health, for example, he said that Brazil will have a damaged generation because of microcephaly. If I had the chance to talk to him, I would tell him, "What is damaged is your statement, sir." Because microcephaly is a box of surprises. You may suffer from serious problems, or you may not. I believe that those who opt to have abortions do not give their children a chance to succeed and survive, as it happened with me. I survived and lived, as so many others with microcephaly do. Our mothers did not choose abortion. That is why we exist.
I mean, that is powerful. Yeah, I was reading an article that on BBC, and they just had this video embedded in the middle of the article. They didn't really say much about it. It just said journalist talks about her deals with microcephaly and having this brain disorder. And then I clicked and listened to this woman cry out and say, "Look, what you're calling damaged, you're now calling me damaged." She was told that she wouldn't walk, she wouldn't talk, she wouldn't have any kind of life. And in her words, she said, "Not only did I do that, I went to university and I became a journalist to give voice to people like me." So now what is happening around the world, what's happening in Brazil and other places because of the Zika virus and microcephaly, what we're seeing is people come out in so-called advocates coming out and saying, "This is no way to live. We have to abort these children." And did you hear what this journalist said? She said, "Education and information is needed now more than ever." Because a lot of these women are being told, you know, if you read through a lot of these articles, they're saying the rich can have abortions and find loopholes, but the poor cannot. So these abortion advocates, instead of looking at ways to educate the poor, all they're doing is saying, "You're not ready for this. You can't take care of this child. You should abort this child." Is that the people we want to be? You know, the World War II generation is sometimes called the greatest generation this world has ever seen, at least this country has ever seen. What will be said about us in 2016? My heart breaks as I read about Planned Parenthood and NARAL, or about the urging for abortion in Brazil. My heart breaks during all of that, but is this who we are? Is this where we want to be? You know, I've watched story after story of candidates claiming to care deeply about people, but I don't see them ever doing anything. Think about that. When you hear from a candidate, a Republican or Democrat, independent, I don't care, do you ever look past what they say and go, "But what have you done?" That's the difference with the World War II generation. See, they didn't just say it. A lot of them didn't say anything. They just went out and did something. You saw people from all walks of life coming together to make a difference and win the war. You saw women going to work. You saw men who weren't even old enough to enlist lie about their age because they cared deeply about what was going on, and they said, "I want to do something, and I'm not going to sit back while everything goes haywire. I'm going to get involved, and I'm going to do something." So why do you think we call them the greatest generation? It is because they got up and they did something. But at some point, history is going to look back and say, "Why didn't you do anything?" That's why I got into this work. When I was offered the job at Hope Resource Center, I sat down with my wife on our couch and I looked at her and I said, "One day if our kids look at us and say, 'What did you do while 3,000 babies were being aborted every single day?' And I said, what is our answer going to be? That we had a license plate, that we put a bumper sticker on our car, that we voted, that we told people we were pro-life? What is our answer going to be?" And that's when I knew I needed to accept the position, because our answer was going to be, Daddy got up every single day and worked with an organization that helped make sure men and women in crisis were going to be loved, served, and cared for, and to help assure that babies would be given a voice. That is what we need to do. So instead of treating pregnancy like a disease, we seek to step in, engage, and do something. In my family and at Hope, we want to stand. We don't want to sit idly by and do nothing. We want to engage, and we want to celebrate women and babies. If you follow us on Facebook, you saw today I posted two pictures, one of a mom holding her baby, and then one of just the little baby. And I posted those because what I wanted to do is show patients coming back to Hope. These are moms that went through parenting classes. These are moms that came to Hope in crisis with an unplanned pregnancy, and now they come back and they're holding their little baby. That is why we do what we do. We don't sit around and wait. Why do you think Planned Parenthood is so upset that some people are wanting to take the $500 million that they're getting from the federal government away? Why do you think they're so upset about that? Is their ultimate goal serving women? Or is their ultimate goal their budget? If they were motivated by their love for women, wouldn't they just be able to make do with what they had? We don't do what we do by telling women they cannot have their dreams and baby. We love and serve them at no cost. So think about that. Again, look at the contrast there. You know, the other day I was interviewed by a student at UT. He was working on a project and where he wanted to talk about new laws that were on the books that were about abortion. So the 48-hour waiting period, the different laws that were going to set higher standards for abortion clinics. He interviewed me, and he interviewed a director of an abortion clinic. And he asked me, he said, what are the negatives of the 48-hour waiting period? And I looked at him and I said, well, I mean, for me as a pro-life guy, there are no negatives. I think it's a great law. I think this is abortion is an issue that people really need to think through. And if they think it's best for their family, that's okay in terms of what they're doing. But what they need to do is give it time. That's not something they should think through flippantly. They need to take their time to do it. So what we need to do, I told him, is you know, I have no negatives, but here's what the abortion industry is going to tell you. I said, when you sit down with them, they're going to look at you and say, this is going to hurt our budget. Because now we're going to have to wait, and they may choose not to have an abortion. And I said, and that coincides with the law that makes them have higher standards at abortion clinics. And I said, so what they're going to tell you with that is, because we have to have higher standards, and we have to be ambulatory, and we have to do all these things and jump through these hoops, that cost is going to have to be passed to someone. And that means it's going to be passed to our patients. And I told him that. And I don't know if he believed me or not, but he went then and interviewed the director of the abortion clinic. And then he sent me a link after he finished his project and he had everything on video. And I was curious. I wanted to see if I was right. And so I watched the interview and I hear, you know, what I said, and then it cuts over to the director of the abortion clinic. And here's what she said. She said, well, what's going to happen with these laws is that cost is going to have to be passed to someone, and we have to make our budgets. And so those costs are going to be passed to the patient. Now think about that. At Hope Resource Center, and there's pro-life clinics all over this country, that they don't make decisions. We don't make decisions based on what it's going to cost necessarily. Now, obviously, we make decisions based on our budget, but we never make decisions on whether we're going to treat someone or not based on how much money we're going to get out of them, because guess what? We don't get any money out of a patient. None at all. We don't care about their bank account. We don't care about their insurance situation. We don't care about any of that. We just want them to come in. They're going to be served and taken care of. Oh, and by the way, we also jump through all those hoops. not because the government told us to, but because we care deeply about women's health. And so we jumped through all the hoops, and we became accredited and got all that taken care of. And so I bring all this up to say that who do we want to be? So think about this. 50 years from now, 100 years from now, when people look back, what are they going to say about this generation? What are they going to say about you? We need to think about that. We need to love people first, and we need to help educate folks. And of course, we need to stand for life. We'll be back in a sec. If not us, then who? If not me and you, right now. It's time for us to do something.
It's time for us to do something.
Yep, that's right on point. We are a people that need to be doing something. And folks, I'm a little biased when it comes to pro-life issues, and I never want to neglect that there are other issues we need to be standing for. We certainly need to. My question and my challenge to believers and to anyone that just loves people is to do something. Like if you see a need around you, do something. It really is as simple as that. And if we would all implement that in our own lives, even as small of things as bringing up your neighbor's trash can up the driveway, or there's plenty of things we can do for people, holding doors open for people, giving up a parking spot, giving up your seat. You know, there's so many things that we can do that would show we're different. We're a little bit different. We care deeply about people. And so today's show, we've talked about this virus that may turn into a worldwide epidemic. It may not. But it is my concern with it is those that are coming out and using this as a platform to call for more abortions. And mark my words, Planned Parenthood and NARAL, I bet, will come out in the next few weeks and agree with this and use this as a launching pad to go against those that would stand for life and go against those that would call for less abortions. And we need to stand against that. We need to say, no, it is time for us to do something. It's time for us to stand. And so we are better than that. Let's instead rally and seek to care for those infected and their children. You know, I gave a stat last week, I think it was last week, that there are 100,000 foster kids waiting for their forever home in this country. And there are 350,000 churches in this country. You don't think we could do something about that? I mean, so those are things that we just at least have to think about and have conversations about. So instead of attacking the unborn, and in the process, when you're attacking the unborn, you're also attacking the unborn's mom. Instead of attacking them, why don't we use our resources, our time, and our abilities to engage and love on them and help them and take care of them? Wouldn't that be a better use of resources? Instead of saying that Brazil is going to be a damaged country because of this virus, instead of making folks that have had microcephaly seem like they're damaged and not worthy of life, would it not be better to step in and say every life is worthy and we're going to do everything we can to help these women and men that are in crisis and to help the unborn? But in the process, we're also going to help educate them, and we're going to equip and give them resources to help with this process. And also, we're going to get rid of these mosquitoes that are taking this virus around the globe. Would that not be a better place to be than simply coming out and trying to use this as a way to push for more abortions? So let's seek to put action to our words and seek to eradicating actual diseases instead of falsely calling pregnancy a disease. This is who we are, and this is who we should be. So let's be on the right side of history and stand for life, every single life. You know, I've talked before about the march that I went to in D.C., the March for Life, and we had some protesters out there standing against us. screaming at us for abortion on demand without apology. So think about that. Who are the extremists? Where do we line up? Who do we want to be? Do we want to look back one day and our kids see a video of us screaming at people marching for life that we should be able to have abortions for any reason at any time without apology? Or do we want our kids to look back one day and go, wow, my parents did something. My parents loved the people that no one wanted to love. My parents stood for people that no one wanted to stand for. My parents stood for and gave voice to those that had no voice. Is that not who we want to be? You know, some people will say, well, that's kind of strange to base your life on a legacy that your kids may or may not think of you. But why not? The reason we look back to World War II generation, the reason we look back to those folks is because we look back and say, wow, I don't know if I could have done that. I don't know if I could have rowed that ship to Normandy. I don't know if I could have stormed that beach. I don't know if I could have done the things that they did. And that's why we look back and say they are the greatest generation this earth has ever seen. But folks, if we start standing for the unborn, if we start standing for the most vulnerable among us, and not waiting around for someone else to do it, but if we start doing it, one day people will look back and go, look what they did. They ended the abortion epidemic. They went from 3,000 babies being aborted a day to zero. They actually went into communities that were broken and they helped them. And not on a short-term mission trip, but they invested their lives into these people. And they sought to see terrible cycles ended. And they sought to see society sustained and culture celebrated. Is that not who we want to be? So as you read the news and as you look through everything that's going on around us and you see all the presidential candidates and you see everything coming in, what I ask you to do is actually read it. See where they stand on the issues. When you see articles come out and they're saying things about this new virus and they're talking about the unborn and the effects that it's having on the unborn and that we need to then abort them because they won't be able to live, I want you to think back to the audio I played earlier of the journalist and the life that she's had. Are we a people that believe all rights are given by a creator and those rights penetrate the womb or not? That's a question that we need to answer. We'll be back next week to talk more. Thanks for listening.
Lift your head, weary sinner. The river's just ahead. Down the path of forgiveness, salvation's waiting.